Praise God. Woo! Man, I got power this morning. I'm coming down here. Would you stand with me one more time as we have the preaching of God's word this morning? Let's just ask God to take his word and make it alive into our hearts. Father, I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, now as already you've spoken through our welcome today, and as you've spoken to the children, and Lord, as we've worshiped you, I pray that you would speak through me to your people. May our hearts be open and may our ears be open to what you're going to say to us today. And I thank you already, God, for confirming your word. And even now, begin to move upon hearts and lives of people that they would begin to respond to you, Lord, as you're speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Now, I made some joke about this. I usually preach for about 45 minutes. And since I haven't preached for about 60 weeks, 60 times 40 is, well, we could be here for a little while. Hopefully not, okay? We're going to have a good time in God's word this morning. But I do need you to take your Bibles. Now, I use my cell phone all the time for preaching, or when Pastor Dave is reading, I have my cell phone and I read from the Bible on my cell phone. So if you have your cell phone or if you have your Bibles, I need you to turn to a couple of passages of scripture, and we're going to get to them in just a minute. I need you to turn to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26. And then hold your finger there, and then we're going to go to Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Mary will have them up here on the screen also. Now, let's just say that you were invited to go to a vacation. How many like vacations? Oh, I like vacations. Well, on your vacation, your family coerces you into going to a game show that's going to be televised. Well, you really don't want to go to it, but you're thinking, oh, we got the tickets, we can go to it. And so you go into the stadium or the studio, and the lights are all dimmed down, and all of a sudden, this big voice comes over with over the loudspeaker, welcome to name your price or whatever game it is. And he says, or welcome to your answer is. And all of a sudden, the lights come up on the studio, poof. And all the people begin to cheer and get frantic. And you, just as a visitor, you start to get a little bit excited because you know that maybe your name could be drawn. Well, you're sitting there thinking, I've never had any luck before. Why should I have any luck now? But the announcer says, this is the richest game show on the planet. And you may be a lucky contestant. All of a sudden, as you're listening, your name is drawn. Well, the audience goes frantic. Your family's ecstatic, and you jump up, and you come tearing down to the stage. You jump up on the stage, and before even the announcer says your name is, you go, my name is, and my address is, and this is my serial number. Kind of what he learned in the Army. Well, the announcer says, well, mister, now we need to have a name. So he goes, well, mister, what's your name? He goes, well, Mr. Dave, he goes, are you ready to win a prize? Well, all of a sudden, you get so excited. You're like a schoolboy that's just been chosen to be the king of the class, and you're jumping up and down, and you're clapping. He goes, are you ready, Mr. Dave, to win the biggest prize? And his eyes are all big, and everybody's going frantic. And he says, let me tell you this. This is the richest game. He says, this will be your prize. All you have to do is answer in the affirmative in a situation. And if you answer correctly, you will win. And the curtain begins to rise up and scroll back. And here comes this man pushing a wheelbarrow full of money. He says, that's right, this prize, you will win $10 million if you answer correctly. Well, everybody's ecstatic. He says, He says, just reach in there, and you step over there. You're so excited. I mean, you haven't hardly handled $100, alone $10 million. And man, you reach your arms into there, into that wheelbarrow, and you pick up handfuls of $100 bills, and it's running down your arms, and it's all over the floor, and you got a big smile on your face. The host says, okay, everybody, sit down, because here is your question. for $10 million. Are you ready? And everybody's quiet. He's looking over at his wife, and she doesn't know what to do, and he sweats pouring off his brow, and he's wringing his hands because he has no idea what the question will be. And the announcer says, drum roll. Everybody's, drum roll. He goes, and now for $10 million, here is your question. Your answer is, he says this, what are you willing to give up? He goes, for $10 million, are you willing to give up your faith in Jesus Christ and his principles? You look over at your wife, and she's shaking her head and going, no, no. You look at the kids, and they're screaming, do it, do it. He says, you have 10 seconds. Clock starts now. And everybody's quiet, wondering what you're going to say. For $10 million, are you going to give up your faith in Jesus Christ? Or are you? And you're not sure. And it goes tick, 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 tick. All of a sudden, your answer is, and the buzzer goes off. And they break for commercial. See, I don't know. You see, I don't know about you. But when I'm driving down the street, there are certain stores that advertise that if you give them a little bit of money, you may get a lot in return. What's Lotto 649 worth? Anybody? Friday was worth $30 million. $30 million, I think, boy, what could I do for $30 million? Maybe you thought about that. But here we have this question of what would we give up? What would our answer be? I need you again to turn to Matthew chapter 19. You've already turned to it, maybe. You've already, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 20. You see, when I was asking God to give me what I needed to bring to you this morning, one of the things that was really laid upon my heart was to invite people to come to the Lord. And I'm going to, at the end of the service, I'm going to call for two responses. And already I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak. The first response I'm going to call for is, if you've never experienced the love of God, I'm going to demonstrate to you what Christ's love means and how you can receive him. The second response is, I'm going to call for you to make a decision that you will follow God no matter what. You see, I had some friends, and they were part of the Christian Motorcycles Association when I knew them, but he said before they joined that as an organization, he sat for 25 years in a church, and he never once heard that he needed to be saved. He sat for 25 years, and he never heard that he needed to give his heart to the Lord. And for 25 years, he sat in that church. Finally, he was involved in Christian Motorcycles Association, found out that Jesus loved him and Jesus wants to forgive him. And he invited Jesus into his heart, and he and his wife are now serving God. And so I come to you today, and I don't know all of your stories, but God does. And the Holy Spirit may be speaking, and you may be sitting here going, you know what, I've never heard. Well, you're going to have an opportunity at the end to respond to Jesus. And then I'm going to call for the opportunity that you would follow after God with your whole heart. But let's read this scripture, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to down to the end of 26. Okay, here it is. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked, and Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter in the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. You see, if we were looking at this young man, we would say, according to him keeping the commandments, he kept 6 of the 10 commandments. He kept 6 of them. We would say he was a pretty good old boy. We would say most likely he was the one to succeed, to receive eternal life. If we were basing it upon his goodness, upon his performance, we would say he was doing a pretty good job at it. In fact, we would say that he was a candidate for being the next recipient of receiving eternal life because of him keeping the commandments. He kept them. He says, I don't kill. That's a good thing. He says, I don't commit adultery. That's a good thing. He says, I don't steal. And he named off 6 of them. You see, these 6 were in relationship to other people. Think about that. The 10 commandments, those 6 that he said, what is it again? Help me out here. What's the first one he said I don't do? He says, I don't murder. All right? And then he says the second one. He says, I don't do. I don't commit adultery. Number 2. Third one. Verse 18. I don't steal. Fourth one. I don't tell lies. Don't bear false witness. Don't testify falsely. And number 6. Honor your father and mother. I think he knew what he's talking about there, about honoring your father and mother. I think we should honor our fathers and mothers all the time. My parents had a logo. We brought you into the world, we can take you out. Not that they ever did. And I love my parents and I honor them. And I think that God blessed me with a wonderful mom and a dad. And praise God, mom's in heaven rejoicing and sitting up there listening to me preach this morning. But there were 6 things. And according to those 6 things, we would say, yes, 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 you're a good old boy. Well, I guess you're going to get eternal life because this is what you asked for. Because that was the question you asked Jesus. You said, how can I receive eternal life? And Jesus says, you've got to keep the commandments. And he says, which ones? And you named 6 of them, and I kept them all. He says, from my youth, I've kept them. The good old boy. And then Jesus said, but there's one thing you lack. He says, you are to sell all of your possessions. Now, this young man probably didn't have a car. He may have had a 3-camel garage. This young man may have had nice clothes, but he certainly didn't have a big screen TV. This young man may have had servants who waved a fan to try and keep him cool, but he didn't have air conditioning. This young man who wasn't able just to throw a switch and the electric lights come on and the electric stove come on. You see, all the things that we take for granted as the amenities that we have, he didn't have, but yet the Bible says that he was rich. And according to Jewish custom, he was blessed by God. If you had possessions, if you had lots of them, and you read in the Old Testament how that Abraham was blessed by God because he had. And everybody thought that this boy would receive eternal life because he had lots of possessions. And Jesus said to him, he says, there's one thing that you lack. He says, now you need to go and sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor. Why did he say that? Because this young man missed the very first commandment. Somebody help me out. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. What is the very first commandment that God said, wrote through Moses? If you know it in the King James, it goes, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Here this young man had all of this money. In the New Living Translation, it says, you must not have any other gods but me. You see, Jesus pinpointed this young man's heart. It was like he turned a spotlight inwardly into this young man's soul and revealed the deepest and the darkest corners of this young man's life, revealing his heart. Jesus' statement He wasn't just against people being poor. He wasn't just making the statement that we don't have any money or we can't enjoy things. He was getting to the pinpoint. He was getting to the heart of the matter of this young man. And he said, Jesus' statement exposed the young man's weaknesses. In reality, it was his wealth was his God. And it was his idol, and he would not give it up. Thus, he violated the first and the greatest commandment. You see, this rich young ruler who did not have a car, and I mentioned that, and didn't have a large screen, he had all kinds of things. But he didn't say, I need to serve God with all my heart. He didn't make the comment, I need to give God everything and let him be my provider. But he says, I've kept all these commandments. I've been the good old boy. He had put his money first. He could not, and he would not, and he was not willing to give up. He refused to give up his money, his God. And what does the Bible say? Because he couldn't put God first. Because he couldn't say, God, you are more important than my almighty dollar. God, you are more important than all my possessions. Because he couldn't make that statement from his mouth or from his heart. The Bible says that he turned and he walked away sadly. You see, he was like this guy at the game show where he had the chance of winning $10 million if he would give up serving God. And what does he do? He says, I like the greenbacks. I like the money better than I like you, God. So I am taking it and I'm going to give up my faith. That's what Jesus pinpointed on. You see, God wants us to serve him. The disciples asked this question, well, then who can be saved? Jesus said, with man it's impossible, because he talks about the camel going through the eye of the needle, but with God all things are possible. Let me just reassure you. I heard of this one man. He had some money, and he was saved. Just to reassure you, so you don't think that you have to walk around being poor all the time. This man had some money. His tithe, 10% of his gross income for 1 year was $375 million. Boy, I'd like to have him in our church. Obviously, God had blessed him. And God has blessed you with all kinds of great things. But put God first in your life. The second thing is we need to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 to 26. Don, I got so excited when you were talking about your opening, about how precious we are to God. Man, you were almost preaching my sermon. This is the way I asked Don, and she said, what can I read? And I said, it doesn't matter, you let the Holy Spirit. And I love how the Holy Spirit orchestrates the service. What Donna was speaking about being precious to God, so this is what I'm going to speak about for the next few moments. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Let me read that verse again. But what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I was contemplating this and trying to wrap my mind around what the net worth of the world would be, because that's what Jesus said. What would it benefit if you gain the whole world? Think about that. All the tea in China, all the diamonds in the underground in South Africa, all the gold in Northern Ontario. What would it get? What would it profit you? What would it benefit of you if you gained it all but lost your own soul? So I started to think about, okay, let's narrow it down. Let's get some net worth here. So I looked up who was the richest man in the world, the richest person. Anybody know who the richest person is in the world right now? According to Forbes, Bill Gates. Now, I do have to say that he lost some money. Over the last couple of years, he's only lost $4.2 billion. But anyways, according to Forbes magazine, July 19th, so yesterday, Bill Gates is worth $79.4 billion. Okay, now, I want to see how well you are at math, okay? Let's just say, okay, oh yeah, Jim, you're the accountant. Okay, let's say you're getting a salary of $50,000 a year. To some of you, that's a pretty good salary. Others of you say, I can't even live on that. Okay, but just for interest's sake, we're going to say $50,000 a year. Okay, how long, at $50,000 a year, how long, if you didn't spend a penny of that, how long would it take you to reach Bill Gates' $79.4 billion? Anybody have a guess? I know you're doing the math. I can already see some of the smoke coming out of your ears. Calculator's already burnt out. Anybody have a guess? How long do you think it would take you to amass $79.4 billion based on a salary of $50,000 a year? Too many. Okay, that's a good answer. Anybody else want to have a figure? Yes? Here it is. 700,000? 1,100,000? Anybody else? Oh, it would take you 1,584,000 years if you had a salary of $50,000 a year to reach Bill Gates' $79.4 million. If you don't believe me, work it out on your calculator. I didn't trust my calculator. I had to work it out on paper. The equation was about this long. Ah, 1,584,000 years. Okay, well, let's change this up a little bit. Okay, let's say you were to save $1 a second. Now again, we're trying to amass $79.4 billion that Bill Gates is worth right now. If you were to earn $1 per second, how long do you think it would take you? Let's work it out. 60 seconds times 60 minutes equals 3,600 seconds per hour. Multiply that by 24 is 86,400 seconds in a day. Multiply that by 365 is 31,536 seconds. So if you were to earn a dollar a second, this is how long it would take you to amass $79.4 billion. This is one man in the world. It would take you 2,517.76 years at a dollar a second. And here, this is just one man, and there's all kinds of people who are billionaires, and there's all kinds of millionaires, and there's all kinds of poor people, but Jesus said, what would it benefit you if you gained the whole world? If you amass more than Bill Gates and the owner of Walmart and the other people who live down in South America who are next in line, she's only the person who owns Walmart. She only has $22 billion. Who's the other one that was up there? 46 million? It was 46 billion anyways. But here the statement was this. To God, you are more priceless than the entire world. Think about that. Try and get your mind wrapped around that. That you are more priceless to God, and He wants you to be part of His kingdom, and He has prepared a way for you to come into His kingdom where He says, gold, well, we use that for paving stones up here. He wants you to know His grace, and He wants you to walk in His love. He wants you to know His goodness. You see, Jesus also said this, and He answers the question, how much are you worth to God? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 31, we find here that Jesus is given this illustration. And I love this because I look at the sparrows and I look at the crows and the ravens and I look at the seagulls and all kinds of birds that are flying around. And Jesus says this, what is the price of two sparrows? one copper coin. The smallest amount of Roman currency was one copper coin. We don't even have copper coins anymore. Well, I shouldn't say that, because in your piggy banks and in your drawers, you probably still have jars full of pennies. Not worth a whole lot. But he says, two sparrows are not even the worth. Well, let's read it. Two sparrows. What is the price of two? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, some of you, that's real easy. Zero. Others, God takes great pains to number the hairs of your head. Not because he has nothing to do, because he cares for you. He loves you so much that he counts the numbers of hairs in your head. He says, so don't be afraid. I love this. So don't be afraid. You are, what was it? What's the word up there? You are what? You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. I want to tell you this, that you are more valuable to God than all of the wealth of Bill Gates. You're more valuable to God than all of the diamonds in South Africa. You're more valuable to God than all the fish in the sea. You're more valuable to God than all the people on the earth. Yes, the Bible says that God writes your name on the palm of his hand, and every time he looks at his hand, he sees your name and he remembers you. But I want you to know that you are valuable to God. You're not just a number of that represents the 7.8 billion people on the earth. You are an individual person, and I want you to know that if you were the only person here on this earth, Jesus would have came and he would have died for you so that you could have an eternity with him. That's how valuable he sees you. That's how valuable he sees the people of this world. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. He sees you and he says that you are valuable to him. Whew. A number of years ago, we were watching this video. It's called The Voice of the Martyrs. And in this video, there were 8 teenagers from America, ranging from about ages 15 to 18, and they decided to go on a missions trip. And they went to Vietnam. This is after Vietnam War. They went over there and they were talking to this young girl. She was 16 years of age. And through an interpreter, they were talking back and forth. And they asked the question here. They says, when did you become a follower of Jesus? When did you become a Christian? She said, when I was 12 years of age. They said, what happened? She said, When they found out that I was a Christian, she's 12 years of age. She says, when they found out that I was a Christian, they put me in jail for 3 days and they beat me. They asked the question, has this happened again, or was that just a one-only time? And she says, no. Many times they've taken me and they beat me and they've almost raped me. The camera zoomed in on this young Vietnamese girl. And her eyes were sparkling, not because of the beating, but because of the love of Christ and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. She had a big smile on her face. And she had a confidence in God. You see, she wasn't willing to give up her life for the sake of bowing down to some ideology or some government. She wasn't willing to bow down to any other person but Jesus Christ. And she says, it is worth it, even if I die, even if they torture me, even if they rape me, I will follow the Lord. I will follow the Lord. I want to relate a story to you quickly. Mary's smiling because quickly means anything under 3 hours. I said there, first of all, that I wanted to demonstrate to you the love of God and what it means. And the best way I can do this is to kind of tell you a missionary story, okay? long as I don't lose my microphone. And okay. Well, you see, there was this missionary, and he went to Africa. There was this little boy. His name was Jimmy. And Jimmy had a pet. And Jimmy's pet was this little white lamb. And they look over on the mountains, and the mountains were covered with this white stuff. And they say that it came down in little tiny bits called snowflakes. And so Jimmy named his little white lamb Snowflake. Well, if Jimmy was going to the market, Snowflake came with him. If Jimmy was going to play with his friends, Snowflake came with him. Snowflake was Jimmy's wonderful pet. One day as they were walking into town, in the middle of town, there was this big tree that had big leaves on it and rocks underneath it where people would sit down. And this is called the meeting place. And as Jimmy's walking along, he sees something a bit strange. Right in the middle of the people, there was a man with white skin. Jimmy wasn't used to seeing people with white skin. He was only used to seeing people with black skin. And this man had a three-legged easel, and on it he had some pictures. And Jimmy didn't know what to think, and he came in and he was peeking behind the bushes to see what was happening. And the missionary, the man with the white skin, says, "Little boy, come here, don't be afraid." And he come in and he began to tell a story about this man named Jesus who did all kinds of good things. Like one day there was this little boy who was crippled. He couldn't walk, and Jesus touched him, and the boy went walking and leaping. Another day there was this man who was blind and he couldn't see, and Jesus stopped the man, spit on the ground and made some mud and smeared it on the man's eyes and said, "Go down and wash." And the man goes down, sprinkles some water on his face from the pool of Siloam, and all of a sudden he could see. Another day, the man was saying that there was a parade, not with big bass drums, boom, 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 not with trumpets. It was a funeral parade. A little boy had died. And Jesus stopped that funeral parade and he said to the little boy, he says, "Get up." And immediately life came back into that little boy and he jumped up and he walked. But there were people who didn't like Jesus. And they went to the governor and they said, "Get rid of Jesus." And the governor says, "What has he done wrong?" And they said, "Get rid of Jesus. Crucify Jesus." Now Jimmy had no idea what crucify meant. The people begin to yell, "Crucify Jesus! To the hill with Jesus! Crucify him! Nail him on the cross!" And so the missionary says they took Jesus outside. First of all, they took the big whip. They tied Jesus' hands over his head and stripped off his clothes, and they took that whip that was laced with lead and glass, and every time that Roman soldier would whip Jesus, that, and he pulled it back, it would tear Jesus all around. And Jimmy could almost feel being whipped. But he thought, why? Jesus did nothing wrong. They then took some thorns, they turned him into a circle, made a crown. Jimmy was walking through the jungle the other day, and all of a sudden he bumped into a tree, and he looked down, he'd run into a thorn bush, and here his leg was all bleeding. But they took those thorns, those long thorns, and they pounded him into his head. And then they took him outside after they beat and punched him, took him out and stretched out his hands, and he took the big nail and the hammer and boom! Drove the nails through his hand, stretched out his other hand and boom! And drew across his feet and one more nail through his feet, boom! Then they lifted him up and put him in a hole in the sand, and the missionary said, and Jesus died. Jimmy's thinking, what kind of a story is this? Here's this man doing all kinds of good things, and then he gets nailed on the cross and dies because he's innocent. But the man said, Jesus died on the cross because he loves every one of you. And Jesus wants to come and he wants to forgive you. And he wants to come into your life. And if you invite Christ to come in because he is alive. Jimmy said, what? Alive? The missionary says, that's right. They put him in a cave and rolled a huge stone in front of the cave. And all of a sudden, 3 days later, all of a sudden the ground began to shake. And Jesus came out alive. And he says, if you put your trust in God, if you put your trust in Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. Not be afraid. not be afraid. He was always afraid. He was afraid that if the cows got sick, his dad would go into the jungle and get a big stick and come back and beat him. He was afraid that maybe the lions would rear at him. But he said, if he trusted God, if he invited Christ into his life, if he asked Jesus to forgive him, he would become part of God's family and that he would know that he could follow God. The missionary says, who would like to have Jesus come and live in their hearts? And Jimmy's hand went up first. He said, oh, I would. Missionary invited the kids to come forward. Little Jimmy came forward. The missionary bowed down and he said this prayer. And he says, Jimmy, he says, now I want you to pray after me. So the man says, Dear Jesus, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I choose to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. Amen. Well, when he finished praying, he could jump so much higher and he could run so much faster, and he grabs Snowflake and he comes running home as fast as he could. He comes into the house and he goes, Daddy, guess what? I was down by the big tree and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. His dad says, what did you say? He goes, Daddy, I asked Jesus to come into my life and forgive me and I want to be his follower. His dad says, what did you say? He says, Daddy, I asked Jesus to come into my life and I want to be his follower. Go to your room now. But he says, you heard me, go to your room. So Jimmy goes up to his room. He heard his dad say to his mom, I don't like what Jimmy's done. I'm going to go get the witch doctor. Now, the witch doctor was the meanest. He was the grossest person around. He had a bone through his nose. He never brushed his teeth. He had bugs in his hair. He had dandruff almost hanging around his neck. Oh, everybody was afraid of the witch doctor. In a few moments, his dad comes back. He says, Jimmy, come here. And Jimmy's walking down. And his dad grabs him by the hand, and as he's being pulled out the door, he grabs hold of the little rope that was holding Snowflake, and he's being pulled along. Going in that direction meant one thing: the Tower of Test. There was this high, high tower, and there was a ladder all the way to the top, and there was this little platform up there, and there was this, and just as Jimmy had tied Snowflake to some bushes, the witch doctor came out. He had this long, bony finger. And he comes walking right up to Jimmy, and he goes, what is this that I hear? You've asked this Jesus to come into your heart. Now I'm going to give you one chance. Who's going to be greater than me? This is Jesus or am I? Now I'm going to give you a chance. Either you give up Jesus or you climb to the top of the tower and jump off. Now what's your choice? He goes, no, I want to follow Jesus. Get over there to the tower and start climbing. So Jimmy came over to the tower and he started to climb, and the witch doctor was right behind him, and Jimmy stopped, and Jimmy could feel the witch doctor's hot breath on his heels, and the witch doctor says, Jimmy, are you going to give up Jesus? And he goes, no, I want to follow Jesus. He says, keep climbing. So he climbed higher and higher and higher, and the witch doctor, he was afraid of heights, he climbed back down the ladder. He gets almost to the top, and the witch doctor yells out so loud, you can hear it echoing through the jungle, Jimmy, give up Jesus, or jump. And he gets up there on the little tower, and the wind was making the tower sway back and forth. For a few seconds, he forgot all about where he was. There's his friend's house, and there's the big meeting tree. And the witch doctor yells out, Jimmy! Jump! He'd remember what the missionary said, what time I am afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. That's out of the Psalms. And he closed his eyes, and he said, help me, Jesus. And he jumped off because he wouldn't give up Jesus. And down he went, and boom! He hit the ground. He didn't move. His mom saw Jimmy lying there. Tears began to stream down her face, and she began to wail, oh, my son! Big tears were running down his dad's cheeks. And then Jimmy sat up, rubbed his back, and when his dad saw that, he comes running over to him, grabs Jimmy into a big bear, and goes, oh, you're alive! And then Jimmy saw it. Snowflake, get up. Snowflake, get up. You see, just as Jimmy jumped off the tower, Snowflake broke loose from where he was, and he ran underneath the tower, and that little lamb who had done nothing wrong took Jimmy's place. John the Baptist was baptizing people in the River Jordan, and he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. He says, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. just like Snowflake took Jimmy's place, so Jesus took your place because he thinks that you're valuable. Not just because you're valuable, but because he loves you. And he calls you by name. And he says, I want you to be part of my family. I want you to be part of my kingdom. I want you to live with me forever. And so, we come to the end of it. It breaks my heart. You see, when we minister to kids, I always give them a math question. I don't want to see how good you are at math. Okay, are you, everybody ready? I can't give you out any candy because they don't have any candy. Give you out. But the first person on your feet knowing this answer, I'll say, well done. Okay, here's the math question. If I invited Christ into my life when I was 3 years old, and I am 57 years old, how many years have I lived for Christ? Now stand up. I just said, 54 years. 54 years I have lived for the Lord. And boy, some days, I'm not perfect. Huh. You can ask Mary about that. I'm far from perfect. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by God's grace. But I love telling kids that I, except for the first 3 years, and I really didn't have a choice in that, but you know what? I have served God. But it breaks my heart when I hear of people who have known the grace of God and have known the experiences of God and have known the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it breaks my heart when they walk away from the church. It breaks my heart, not just because they're not fellowshipping with us, but they also break fellowship with God. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart when people choose to walk away because they think that what their choice is more important. They think that the $10 million is more important than serving God. We have a number of young people, for whatever reason, they are not fellowshipping with us. There are some people for legitimate reasons have moved away, but there are others that you know of and maybe in your family who are not walking where they should be. Yes, they had an experience in Sunday school, and praise God for that. But it breaks my heart. Every time I hear of an accident, or every time I hear of a suicide bombing, the first thing that runs through my mind, there goes a number of people. How many of them are ushered into eternity without Christ? How many? And Jesus said, he says, you're more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows. He says, if you gain the whole world and you didn't have my forgiveness, my salvation, is going to profit you nothing. People have abandoned the church because of the hurts and pains. Young people have sacrificed their faith on the altar of supposedly higher education. Kids have given up their values and Christian heritage for the newest electronic toy. Men have thrown away their moral upbringing for the next promotion or a greater income. Ladies have thrown God, their creator, to the wind in the search for a slimmer and a more tanned body. In spite of the circumstances and of the pain and of the financial reversals and relationships smashed against the rocks, certainly you will not hear the devil say, well, hang in there. When things are going bad, you won't hear Satan say, God's in control, just hang on, don't lose your faith. But you will hear him scream, give up on God. Salvation is useless. It's worthless. And I want to tell you that in the face of that bold-faced liar, the creator of the universe, the lover of your soul, the one who wants you to spend eternity with him, his name is God. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. His name is El Shaddai, the all-powerful. His name is Lord. His name is Jesus. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And he says, don't give up. He says, it's not worth, even if it was $100 million, it's not worth you having that and you lose your soul. And he says to those who have never heard, his Holy Spirit is drawing them and he's saying, come on to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's crying out. God says through his word, in the face of that bold lie of Satan, and I finish with this. God says in Hebrews 12, chapter 12, I'm going to read it. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, now is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He's saying, don't give up. Don't throw it away. I named my sermon, and I don't know if you saw that very first title. It says, don't trade away the things that don't fade away. And I close with these words, don't trade away the things that don't fade away. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you gave me the opportunity to preach this morning. Pour my heart out to your people. Lord, I'm asking that you would just respond, that you would stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask this. And while everybody has got their eyes closed in the quietness, in the private of this moment, I wonder, is there anyone here that says, Pastor Joel, I have never asked Jesus to come into my life. Something's stirring in my heart, and I want Christ to come in. I want him to be my king. I want him to be my savior. Are there any, and I'm the only one watching right now, simply by raising your hand, say, Pastor Joel, I want to come to Jesus. Here's the second response that I'm going to call you to. You see, whatever you face, the trials, the temptations, the ups and downs. And sometimes we just think, what's the use of serving God? God says, you are more valuable than many sparrows. You're more valuable than the entire world and all of its possessions. This is what my call is to you. You could either respond by just simply sitting there. That's fine with me. Well, it's not fine with me if you don't respond. How many here want to say, I want to serve God with all my heart? I want to follow him no matter what. No matter what the price is. If it means giving up some material things, I'm going to follow God. If it means facing some type of incrimination or even torture or pain, I'm going to follow God because it's worth it. Over my 57 years, I've committed my life to Christ many, many times. I continue to do it. And so this is my call to you. If you want to come forward and make a public confession of that, you're welcome to it. But how many would say, either by raising your hand or standing up, I want to serve God with all my heart, and I'm giving it to him right now. That's you. Holy Spirit is speaking. Some of you raise your hands, some of you are standing. If I could, I would make the decision for you, but I sure can't. You're going to pray. While I am praying, would you make that commitment also? Father God, you value me more than all that the world is worth. And you want me to spend my eternity with you. And so right now, Lord, I am committing my life fresh to you. I'm giving my life to you, Lord. And I'm making a declaration that I choose to follow you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. I choose to put you first. I thank you for speaking. I thank you for this day, Lord.
May each of us make a fresh commitment to follow after you. And in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing just one little chorus. I think you all know it. Jesus loves me. And then I'm going to close in prayer, but I do want to say that this altar is open. If you need prayer, if you want me to pray for you, we'd be more than do that. But would you sing with me, Jesus loves me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now may the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of the saints go with you, and may you enjoy this day and this week. God bless you, folks.